This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live to tape from downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. A little bit later this evening, late in the evening, as the song goes. But we are going to blow you away with some Caps hockey information. Big schedule this week, big four games. We're going to cover, trying to get through this little bit of a time crunch now, but we're going to try and get through this as fast as we can, but still be a bit comprehensive. And with me, as always, once again, is the wonderful mermaid from Centerville, Virginia, Anna Knox. Anna.
Yes, happy Sunday. Happy post-Tampa Bay beatdown.
And the Masters.
And the Masters. My other, you know,
happy
sports nerd hat is on.
Yeah, happy Masters finale. We were just talking before we got on air.
Yeah, I know. I was like, who's up? Who's doing it? Yes, we are all good.
Definitely. All right. Especially if you like Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah, no doubt.
Scheffler, sorry.
Although I have to admit, my when I was watching this with my brother-in-law, we both were like, he kind of has, like, the fact that he goes by Scotty and he's like a grown man is like, but I also think he kind of has a very like Connecticut, New England waspy kind of, like, I can't help but when like I look at him, I feel like he's going to answer everything like, Mavie. And the golf club. And that's like, for some reason, I'm like, and he's, I don't even think he's from that area. It's like, you know, who knows where he's from, but I just feel like he would just be that, like, proper golf club attire. And I don't know what it is about like this guy.
Like Mr. Howell from Gilligan's Island.
100%. 100%. And like, it's like he's just, I just look at him and that's all I, like, that's how I hear, like, how he would. would talk and now like Campbell, like my brother-in-law, is just like, okay, now I can't get that out of my head. I'm like, I know, I'm like, I don't know what it is about this guy. I'm not a huge fan of his, but I just think of Lovey. But yeah, I think he made he is going to win this. Yeah,
he was one of the favorites, so been kind of looking at this kind of with a sideways for monetary reasons. Too much detail, but doing well. And that's going to make the old coffers happy, but won't go into too much detail about that. No, of course not, Lovey. No, Lovey. No, we're not going to be. Everything's nice and sunny.
See? Now I talk. And
now. Look what you did.
I know. It's contagious. Well, and now he has a beard. So it's a little bit different. But when you see him without a beard, I think he has like one of those like butt chin dimples. So it just like takes the like to a whole other Lovey level. And I can't undo it. It's that's just how I see this guy. And I watch a lot of golf. So again, can't play worse shit. Golf, mini golf, yes. Other
same.
Not so much. But anyways, I want to hear a brief, awesome recap of the meetup yesterday. That I'm so sorry I didn't get a chance to meet the awesome people that were in the picture. And then we're going to jump in and talk this wild card playoff.
We'll definitely do. I will. I'll save that for the end since that's the last game.
Oh, gotcha.
And we'll go ahead. We're going to go ahead and make that the focus game, even though the Detroit game. Oh my God.
Right.
But yeah, okay, so four games. Let's go through them as quick as we can. But four games played, starting with exactly 1 week ago, pardon me, with the home game against Ottawa. And this was after the disappointing loss against Carolina, where, yeah, some questionable officiating.
Non-officiating
more accurately. Yeah, kind of decided the game. So figure the Caps were going to come out breathing fire and yeah, playing that way. Not to be.
Yeah, not so much.
Didn't quite get there. And in fact, the only heat that was generated was from the whatever the hell was going on that let the sunshine in. I don't know. They were.
What is that? It's really weird.
I don't know who or what. I don't know. Somebody, because it happened in the Tampa game. Did you see that?
Yeah. And it's like at 5:38 or something like that.
Yeah.
And legit, you're looking like at the fans who are like totally blinded and kind of like, what the hell? It's such a weird thing that it's like, how do you have something like, you know, an arena and what, like one window isn't covered properly or something? It's like, what? And then to have it happen like twice in 1 week, it's just weird. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know, but that is just... I mean, that's the kind of thing normally that just, how do you let that happen?
Exactly. I mean, when it happened the first time, I would have been like, okay, who is in charge of the window covering? whose person? Whose job is that? It should have been dealt with then. I don't even know how you can like delay a game to be like, sorry, the sun's in my eyes. What? Like, this is so weird. And then to have it happen again, it's like that person probably is unemployed at this point. But yeah, it's just weird. It kind of just threw a weird vibe into the game.
It did. And I saw that in the Tampa Bay game when I was watching. It's like, oh my God, they are seriously not letting this happen again.
Yeah. Yeah. Disappointed.
Very, very much so. But I'm only reminded of because I got full disclosure. I got while we're recording this, I got Guardians of the Galaxy 2 playing in the background, and it's the first part where they're all in the room with the Sovereign. And if you don't know anything about GOT G2, the Sovereign is this race of people that are all perfect and literally made out of gold, and they've got golden faces. And I figured, okay, well, if they don't do something about this, that's going to be what everybody looks like because they're all getting a tan from this thing because they can't figure out how to close a freaking window.
Yeah, like I don't get it. And it's like, and I've never seen windows. Like, where is this window?
Or curtains or whatever.
Like, I mean, if you think about it, it's like, yeah, I don't know. It's just so stupid. And then when like you open up the, you know, the hockey news or whatever, and it's like, here's like four or five fans kind of like, what the hell? Like feeling totally blinded. And it's like, yeah, sorry. No, they're not playing outdoors. No. This is inside. Oh, yeah. And it's inside DC. And it's the second time this week. The fuck?
God, just, I don't know. Somebody needs to be fired because that's just embarrassing.
Totally. It is. Totally. Totally. So, all right. Anyways,
yeah, that was a feature of this game. Fortunately, they caught it early on. It just happened to be a shining light on the Senators goalie. Yeah, they caught it before there was any damage. Quick run of the scoring match. Max Pacioretty opened the scoring at 4:43, his fourth of the year. Hendrix LaPierre with the assist on that one. Caps take the lead, and we're all happy because usually when they take the lead, they take the game with them. No other scoring until the second period. Kastelic for the Senators, Chychrun and Kelly, remember that name, on the assist on that one. And then Thunder, Alexei Protas, his sixth, breaks through, ends the long scoring drought, although he had one that should have counted against Chicago, I think. His sixth of the year, Van Riemsdyk and Fedivadi on the assist on that one. 17-10 late in the second. Okay, so we're thinking Caps are going to hang on. Well, they didn't. Ridly Greig, his 13th, he scores 12:49 into the third, and that ties it. We go into the dreaded overtime, and then 41 seconds in, stop me if you've heard me before, Caps blow this game. And stupid play. I don't know what Connor McMichael was thinking, but he ends up screening Charlie Lindgren. Lindgren has no chance to save it. And like I said, 41 seconds in, it's over. And yeah, it just, I don't know. This game really ticked me off because it just didn't, that strength of effort just wasn't there. You didn't feel that sense of urgency. And it just didn't feel like, it was there. And, but you know, it ramped up obviously as it went along. If you look at the shots on goal per period, 4-8-10 in that order. Caps didn't even possess the puck in overtime, so no shots in that period. I don't know if this is what cost them, but the faceoff didn't, stats didn't help them. 38% at the dot. Boo hiss. Terrible. Senators were a lot more physical, almost doubling them up on hits. But the most questionable was by one Mr. Kelly on Rasmus Sandin, right, late in the game. And, or was it, I think it was the end of the second period. Something like that. It caused a pretty big scrum anyway. Kelly, speaking of Max Pacioretty, pulled a Max Pacioretty on Chara on Max Pacioretty. A friend of mine at said get together, Willem Bagus and I were discussing that hit when it happened, but pretty much the same thing happened here. Kelly rode Sandin into the end boards where the glass starts. Uh-huh. And Sandin got crunched and looked to me like he might have separated his shoulder.
Yeah, the fact that he's out, that just
he's he's not coming back. I don't think I would be very surprised, if, assuming the Caps make the playoffs, if he comes back for the playoffs. I don't think he will. That looked pretty bad. I think Sandin, unfortunately, is well. Done for what little time exists in the season.
Right,
Not, you know, on the shelf forever. Spring. No, not that kind of out, long-term out, but just long enough to affect, you know, like I said, the limited time left in. I would say he's out at least a good 2-3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But yeah, that kind of put a damper on things, as if the overtime loss wasn't bad enough. But Caps managed to get the loser point at least, which they hadn't gotten in like almost a week, over a week. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So that was that. But at least they get the point and, you know, kind of sort of end the skid, but not really. Okay, so that brings us to the Tuesday game against Detroit. Now, this one was obviously must win. I think we were all kind of butterflies in the stomach, barf your dinner up nervous about this one. Because as well as they played them last time, Detroit was looking to, you know, they were in the same spot the Caps are. They're looking to, you know, improve their standing in the race and, you know, grab a playoff spot. And, you know, they'd been struggling for a while too, but it looked like they've been turning things around. And, you know, they've got Patrick Kane and Alex DeBrincat who always give them fits. And yeah, it was, I don't know. I was going into this thing. I was scared. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest. I'll be totally honest. And then the way they played, oh my God. Well, let's go ahead and jump to the shots, stats. First period, Caps got 8, Red Wings got 17. Second period, Caps got 8 again, Red Wings got 10. Third period, Caps got 7, Red Wings got, survey more than says, seven. 16!
More than 7.
More than 7.
God.
So basically, had it not been for Charlie fucking Lindgren.
Yeah.
And I will say his name like that.
You at this point, we all have to.
You have to. Charlie effing fucking Lindgren saving the day, literally putting the team on his back. And John Walton even described one of his saves as a Superman-like on the call. Because, yeah, we switched to Big John because this was a nationally televised game. So, yeah, no four-letter peoples ruining the fun. So we, in this household anyway, we had Big John and Ken and Ben Raby doing the honors. Thank God, because, they made it fun, that like they always do. And wow, this was I would say the best game the Caps have played. And we've said that, we say that maybe once every few weeks, but this
was. Yeah, I was going to say, it's not a frequent comment,
no.
Everyone, terminology that we've used, but this was fantastic.
And I know what you might be thinking, you on the other side of the speakers, the earbuds, you what have you. How can they give up 43 shots and play a good game? Well, yes, they gave up a lot of shots, and yes, that's pretty bad. But if you were watching, it was, and this is what I mean by the scoring chances to score, because a chance to score is the whole sequence of events. So if you were watching the game, then a lot of these shots, the defense, the coverage, they did one hell of a job in making sure that there were no loose rebounds, no second chance shots, no 5 minutes of just hacking away at the goal. None of that. And if you think about it, a lot of these shots, they got ramped up because Detroit got more and more desperate as the game went along. And that led to a lot of frustration on their part.
Yep.
And I think ultimately that's most of what did them in, because they started taking chances and they weren't making the most of them. And, you know, I kind of wish the Caps hadn't sat back as much, because they could have really put the game away if they really wanted to on some of these. And, you know, it wasn't happening. Now, of course, well, let's go ahead and do what we do. And no goals first period. Sound like that one commercial. No goals.
No goals.
Juicy Soros. No goals.
No goals.
Dylan Strome opens it at 17:47 in the second. So 37 minutes plus before anybody even got a goal in this game. Fedivati on the assist on that one. Caps take the lead. And then just over 2 minutes later, Alex Ovechkin, the captain, treats us to not only pizza, but McNuggets all in one shot. 1952, so it's a McNugget Minute goal, a magical McNugget Minute goal, as we like to say here. Oshie on the assist on that one, and that's 30th, his 30th, the 18th time he's done that. Nobody, and I mean that's nobody so fucking else. Crazy. It is crazy.
I mean, you have to just sit and say it a couple of times before you really wrap your head around how phenomenal Alex Ovechkin is.
Yes.
I mean, we know, obviously, but I mean, like, when you really are just like aside, you know, again, like, you know, we're on that Gretzky train, but when you really think about all of the stepping stone things that records he's breaking, excuse me, and just everything, it is really quite, I don't know, it's amazing. And I'm like honored to be, you know, a fan at this point to be watching something like this, to be like, yeah, the I was there for this and this, you know, but for him to do that in so many seasons and just kind of stand alone with that glory is really, God, fucking amazing.
Oh, it has been a pure privilege.
Yeah.
Being able to watch him. And that's
absolutely,
that's not hyperbole. That's just plain truth.
100%.
We are watching one of the best ever to lace up the skates, do his thing. And for an 18th season, he's gotten at least 30.
Mm-hmm.
So amazing.
Yeah.
Just simply amazing. And, you know, you want to, for the people that were quick to say, oh, okay, he's done. Father Time finally got him. He's done.
Right.
Well, he's not done.
No.
Not yet.
No.
So this actually turned out to be the game winner because, well, as heroic as Charlie was being, well, the Wings had pulled their goalie and at 1958 officially, Patrick Kane finally put it away, managed to put it away with 1.1 seconds left on the clock. David Perron, Lucas Raymond on the assist on that one. They literally stormed the net. I don't know how it went in myself, but there was 1.1 seconds left on the clock. So for
Patrick Kane.
Well, yeah. But so for 59 minutes and 58.999999 repeating seconds, Charlie had shut down the Red Wings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an official scorer, but if it was me, I'd have just given the shutout anyway. But yeah, unreal that it took this to finally get the goal. So their 43rd shot, they get the goal. And but unbelievable performance by Charlie. I give the defense some credit, but there were quite a few high danger chances that he had to deal with. And again, he put the team on his back.
Mm-hmm.
And like we posted in the Facebook room, there are a lot of decent players on this team that have done a lot of good things this year, but I don't think there's any doubt who the team MVP is this year after this.
Right.
There just isn't.
100%.
I wish we had more time to do the game justice because, like I said, I think this was this was at the very least the greatest effort that they put out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really what it comes to is that they knew what was on the line and they showed up and they played, you know, well enough to win the game finally,
right,
which is all we've been asking them to do. Unfortunately, the same could not have been said 48 hours later when they went up to Wing City in Buffalo.
The fuck?
And yeah, as great as that game was, this game was a kick in the old gonads.
Yeah, this was awful.
This was horrible to watch. It was almost like, well, not almost. There was no almost. This was a letdown game. Let's just call it what it is.
Well, they didn't look like, I mean, I don't know how much you're going to even want to recap or whatever else, but this was, of the four games that we're talking about, 100%, this was the game. They came out and did not look like they wanted to be there, did not have a spark. It was like, they didn't show up. They didn't show up. And you would think after the embarrassment that we got playing them not that long ago that they would have been ready to just come in and be like, I don't care if it's your last game in your hometown, like, we're gonna kick your ass, like, and let's go. And I felt like Buffalo showed up. Buffalo was 100%, they were doing their thing.
We were not
so much. We were late to the party. And that was that.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good description of late to the party. Let's get the scoring rundown out of the way. Zach Benson, a pretty good rookie, gets his 10th, opens the scoring at 19 minutes. So I don't know if they have a McNugget thing, but if they do, probably wings, or something like that there. He got it for them. 19 minutes. Makes it 1-0. Second period, Alex Tuck, his 22nd. Yoki Haru and Tage Thompson on the assists. Pretty much the same line that burned them in the first frickin' game, or the last game that they played. So, just, put a frickin' body on these guys, you know? And I think this was the goal that Connor McMichael screened Charlie again. I mean, not to make Connor the whipping boy, especially after what he's going to do here in a second. Yes, this was the goal. But to alleviate the pressure on him a little bit, maybe he shouldn't have been in the position to play defense in front of the goal in the first friggin' place. So if you want to make that excuse, you can. But yeah, I just, so that one's at 12:37 at the second, and just under 2 minutes later, Connor McMichael would answer for the Caps to kind of redeem himself for that. I love what Sammy Silver called this line. Sammy Silver of the Hockey News, covering the Caps. So it was Connor McMichael. Max Pacioretty got the assist along with Carlson, but the line was Connor McMichael, Max Pacioretty, and TJ Oshie. Mm-hmm. So she called the line McTJ Max.
I like that.
I like that a lot. Unfortunately, like they wouldn't stay together very long.
Right.
But that's probably the best line combination by name that anybody's come up with
this
season. So props to her on that. So they go into the third down 2-1. Okay, so we're thinking, all right, this game is still winnable, or maybe get another loser point, at least kind of, satisfy the pecker checker or whatever. We're still alive. Something.
What is a pecker checker?
You've never heard that expression?
No.
How do I put this without being too graphic? Pecker checker, somebody who's supposed to be checking on certain things. Somebody in the medical profession, I would assume.
Okay.
So I'm surprised you never heard that before.
No.
No?
I mean, I guess I will say.
I get why you wouldn't have heard that before.
My dirty mind went that route, and then I was like, but wait, maybe it is actually something that's not okay.
Oh, so, no, it's that.
Okay.
It's definitely that. It's all kinds of that.
Gotcha. All right, so, moving on.
yeah. Yeah, Caps completely fell apart in this period. Jack Quinn, his eighth, Clifton and Greenway, 946. That turned out to be the game winner. Caps could not do diddly frickin' squat after that, except for a late Tom Wilson goal at 19 minutes, which I guess technically counts as a magical McNugget minute goal. His 18th, but it was too little too late. Dylan Cousins had gotten one to an empty netter a minute before that. That pretty much locked it up. So it ends up 2-1 or 4-2 Buffalo. Shots on goal. Caps had 24. Buffalo had 17. I mean, on paper, they should have won this frickin' game.
Mm-hmm.
On paper, they should have, in their mindset, they should have gone in and been like, fuck no, we are coming to redeem ourselves. And again, they did not show up.
And there were some questionable non-calls in this one, not the game altering, but I mean, no penalties called for the first 40 minutes. And then one minor, 16 seconds into the third. So that the Zebras were like, okay, yeah, we're here. We're not taking an extended coffee break. No, we're here. And then, yeah, there was that scrum at the end where, Pacioretty and Wilson just want to take somebody's head off because they were pissed. Yeah,
Tommy was a little bit.
They want to beat the crap out of somebody because they were both pissed as hell.
Yep.
At the end of the game, but oh my god, just. I mean, there are no two ways about it. They shit the bed.
Yeah, it sucked.
They shit the bed. You can't say anything else. It wasn't a must-win game. It was, as has been said on other podcasts, a highly suggested win. But it felt like they had the chance to run away with it, and they gave it away, and possibly for good, right. Is what it felt like. That's what I felt like at the end of this game.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then comes this game, which I didn't see live, but we had the podcast meet and greet and get together down at the Irish Channel in DC, which is about a block and a half from the Cap One. Before we get into the game, that was pretty interesting because you had conversing with people on social media is one thing. Meeting them in live and in color and in person is another thing entirely. And some of them were. So like Marcus and C4, you know, I'd gone to games with them before, so I knew them. But a lot of others that were there, I was meeting for the first time. Lorenzo Robinson, the loquacious one. He's every bit like you figured he'd be.
Oh yeah.
He was
personable
he was friendly and knowledgeable. Well, mm-hmm. Very knowledgeable, as we'll get to later on. And as far as something that happened in this game, he was the first to spot it. But not that I was surprised at that, but Lorenzo was everything like what you heard, if you've heard him on the podcast,
right.
A couple times he's been on. So, Willem Bagus met him and his lovely fiance, Diane.
Yes.
Met them both. And, awesome. Well, they were, they were, uh, they, kind of as expected too, except I knew Willem had a sense of humor, but I didn't quite know. Willem probably could have made a living as a stand-up comedian. If he wanted to.
Oh, that's awesome.
In the 80s. He's got a dirty little mind like we do.
Oh, good. Welcome aboard.
Which is why you never hear that part of him when we're discussing hockey. That didn't come out. That never comes out. But it's like Bob Saget. You wouldn't have figured. You know, his comedian side based on the TV stuff that he did, but so he was kind of a surprise. I can't remember. I think it was, brought along a friend, Sean, and his last name escaped me at this point. Hannigan, I think it is. Trying to remember. Sean, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I'm doing you a gross injustice here, but he was pretty cool. I think Sean and Willem actually play in their band together, mix and match band. I think they play together. If I heard that right. Bryce Chipmore came in late. Oh, that picture I sent you.
Yeah.
That was, I don't know if it's his girlfriend or his wife, but she had gone to, I don't know if it was a team store or an auction or what, but that was Tom Wilson's or one of Tom, she had bought a pair of Tom Wilson's game worn skates.
Holy shit, that's so cool.
And I knew I had to get that picture and show you. I knew I had to take it.
That is a worthy purchase.
Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome.
I didn't ask how much. I didn't care. I knew I had to get a picture and show you because, like, yeah, this is all kinds of awesome right here.
That's really cool. Really cool.
Yeah, so it was all pretty good. And, of course, Miss Blue Liner was by my side and patiently dealing with stuff.
Looking fabulous.
Looking fabulous, yes, decked out in the Hawaiian shirt that C4 had kindly saved for me, but she decided to rock that instead of a jersey.
Yeah, looking good.
Yeah, so hopefully you've had a chance to see the picture on the page, but it was a bunch of us there watching the game and reacting. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I'm pretty sure I had. But when I was in college and a couple of years after I'd graduated, I worked at a daycare center, and the kids there, a lot of the kids there were had attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. And let's just say I related to a lot of them very well.
My job.
If you're very, very curious, no, I've never been diagnosed. But I was kind of glad for that because I was kind of focusing on a lot of different things at once.
Yeah.
I was focused on
overstimulated.
A little bit. Cause when we got there, they didn't even have the regular game on.
Oh, that's weird.
No, they didn't. We had to ask them to change it to Monumental.
Yeah.
But on one of the TVs, they left the ESPN game, ESPN on. ESPN had a doubleheader on. First it was the Dallas Stars game. Then it was the Detroit Toronto game that they were playing. So I kind of had half an eye on that. And course, Marcus is all gung-ho on college hockey. And, of course, it was the Frozen Four final that Dean played at literally at the same time. And we were keeping an eye on Boston College because of Ryan Leonard. And he's a Denver Pioneers fan, too. So we were keeping one eye on that. And I was watching that, of course, you know, watching the game and everybody was meeting me for the first time. So they all wanted to, you know, we were all getting in conversations and we were trading pictures and all that. So, yeah, it was an experience.
Good. That's good. I mean, I so wish I could have gone. We happened to have family coming in and I didn't even put it two and two together, honestly, when we were talking about them coming to visit and they drove all the way down from Cape Cod. So it was like, oh, shit. But I was there in spirit.
Yes, you definitely were. And it's kind of on me because we'd suggested it about a month and a half ago and I threw out the date and said, oh, why don't we do this as Tampa Bay game? Because it's, you know, it's an early start game and, nobody will be out late and it's a weekend. So it's perfect for getting together. And I never firmed up the details. And, you know, thank God for Cheryl Ann because she had connections at the Irish Channel. Mm-hmm. God bless Willem for coming out. He lives all the way out in Gainesville. Oh my God.
Yeah. It's a good 15, 20 minutes past me.
Like, yeah, I was going to say way past you. Yeah. So thanks to everybody for coming out before we get in the game. Sean, Willem, Lorenzo, Bryce, and everybody, Diane, and of course C4 and Marcus. Thanks everybody for, all of you for coming out. And making it a big hit, and you know, maybe next year, we have it again, and we make it a little bit bigger, and I'll try to plan it a little bit better instead of it being thrown together at the last minute. But thanks everybody who showed up and wanted to show up yeah. And made comments and thanks to all of you who helped make it happen and. You know, God bless all of you because it really validates what we do here at the podcast. So thanks all of you because I mean I was really honestly a wreck throwing this together. So thanks again. All right, so let's jump back into what happened at this game. Hoo boy. All right, so crap, I lost my okay. Okay. All right. So if you're following along in the app, it is the game center for this game. All right. Let's do the scoring rundown. Sonny Milano, cookies. His 14th opens the scoring at 9:56. Max Pacioretty and Hendrix LaPierre. He likes assisting on those first goals, does Hendrix. 9:56 opens the scoring for our Caps. And just over 3 minutes later, Anthony Duclair of the Lightning ties it up. Braden Point and Radish on the assist on that one. Tie game. Milano unassisted. Less than a minute later, gets the Caps back into it. And then Brandon Hagel, his 25th, ties it again. Stamkos and Cirelli on the assist on that one. And I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I kind of feel like we have to. Not long after this goal was a play that changed the outcome of the game, possibly the fortunes for the Caps. And I want to preface it by saying this. Yes, he's been my whipping boy for most of the season. I have not been pleased with his play. No, this is not something I wish for. Hell effing no, did I wish for this at all.
I know.
At all. And by the way, those of you who did, fucking shame on you, okay? You know, you assholes know who you are, all right? Talking about the Tampa fans and other people that were like, well, this is karma for Tom Wilson.
Shut the fuck up.
Those fucking people. That's who is. And I'm sure you're not listening to this. I don't give a fuck. All right. But you people, shame the fuck out of you. All right. Fucking karma for Tom Wilson. Bullshit. No, it isn't. It's a play that went horribly wrong.
Mm-hmm. And could have gone.
And could have gone way worse.
Way worse. Way fucking worse.
And of course, what I'm talking about is Michael Isamont's hit on Nick Jensen. So for those of you who haven't seen it, I'm going to describe the play. So Jensen's carrying the puck to center near the bench boards. I want to say he was probably about 3 or 4 feet from the boards. He's carrying the puck to center, and he gets just around a little before the center line, gets rid of the puck. I want to say about a split second after he gets rid of the puck, Isamont, well, it looked like a shove. It also looked like a hit, but he had him lined up before Jensen got rid of the puck. This is what I'm seeing. He had him lined up. They make contact. Jensen falls to the ice, ends up falling to the ice. I think that's where he lost consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Was when he impacted the ice.
Yeah.
Not unlike that referee, Steve Cazzari, in the Penguins game a week ago.
Oof.
I think it was not unlike that. So the fact that two of these things happen in 1 week is effing creepy.
Right.
Scary as hell. But so Jensen hits the ice, then slides the 3 or 4 feet or the distance to the boards and makes a hard impact on the bench boards. Okay. Now, Caps fans, you're going to hate me for saying this, but unfortunately, we got to take our fan glasses off. By the strict letter of the law, it wasn't a penalty. If you go by intent. So if you're following along the app, so get out of Game Center, go to the toolbar at the bottom, hit more, and then under the NHL, swipe down there, under NHL, go to rulebook, tap rulebook. Hit the button that says download 2023-24 rulebook and swipe to section 6 regarding physical fouls. Okay. And let me real quick run down the rule that I'm talking about. Rule number 41, boarding. A boarding penalty shall be imposed by any player that checks or pushes a defenseless opponent in such a manner that causes the opponent to hit or impact the boards violently or dangerously. I know. Let me finish. Severity of the penalty based on the impact of the board shall be at the discretion of the referee. The discretion of the referee. There's an enormous amount of judgment involved in the application of this rule by the referee. The onus is on the player applying the check to ensure his opponent is not in a defenseless position, and if so, he must avoid or minimize contact, which I'm not sure that Isamont did. I'll get to him in a minute. However, in determining whether such contact could have been avoided, the circumstances of the check, including whether the opponent himself, put himself in a vulnerable position immediately prior to or simultaneously with the check, or whether the check was unavoidable, can be considered. This balance must be considered by the referees when applying the rule. Any unnecessary contact with a player playing the puck on an obvious icing or offside play. I don't think this part applies, so I'm not going to read it. You get the idea here. Mm-hmm. Now, Lorenzo Robinson was the first to spot it. The only thing he got wrong, I think, was the timing. He said Jensen still had the puck. He did not. But I have seen other hits like this where the guy had just gotten rid of the puck and then boom, the guy gets hit and mm-hmm. nothing called. I've seen that before. There is that precedent. Was it reckless? You wonder 100% damn fucking well, Skippy. Yes, it was reckless. So it violates that part of the spirit of the rule. So unfortunately, that part of it was broken, but in all other ways, it did not meet the criteria for calling a penalty. And I tell you what, here's what really ruined it. That stupid rule that they implemented where they can review the penalty. Because I think the refs saw Jensen's condition and figured, okay, we at least got a automatically in their minds 5-minute major. But upon reviewing, like we all did, you know, they figured, okay, you know what? Against the rule, it's not a penalty at all. And that's why, and I know we kind of all wish, okay, at least a 2-minute minor here, something.
Right.
But I mean, that's kind of why no penalty was called. And yeah, I get it. We're pissed. I'm still kind of pissed nothing was called. But,
right.
You know, if you're
people who are watching the, whether you're at home, whether you're there live, you know, how, or you're even listening to it, I think we immediately want some sort of consequence. You know, it's like,
yeah,
you immediately want to be like, holy shit, he's not moving. They're calling out a stretcher. Okay, the guy's been ejected from the game. Or he is a 5-minute major, or whatever the circumstances, and it, not that that gives it, it's not justified at all, but it almost gives the fan watching or listening a little bit of like, okay, well then good, that happened to that player, and we know that next time they're on the ice, they're going to get their ass beat by whatever Caps player decides to take them on. But when there's nothing, it definitely, it's very unsettling, because you want to be like, how is that possible? Something should have been called, I think, but who knows?
Well, that's the beauty of the game. And, you know, there have been calls to eliminate fighting from the game. This right here is a reason why, or one of the reasons, I think, at least, it still exists, because it lends itself to where the legality is, and I mentioned this in a tweet I put out, where the legalities of the game fail to take care of the players. This is a way of handing out that justice that they don't give you. And basically, what I'm saying is, if you saw it, Nick Dowd gave Isamont the beatdown he deserved.
And you know what? I'm not going to say it was so great. It was so great, because that was truly friendship, passion, beatdown.
It was. Like, it's what you want to see from a hockey team.
Absolutely.
That you support. But
I mean, just because, like, you know, post game, he was very emotional talking about Jensen and his friends. So, like, to know that he went out there and was like, you're not going to fuck with my friend, you know, and it was like, and it didn't have to involve Tom Wilson. It was like, awesome. Like, you know, let's see it. But he, holy shit, I knew Dowd had it in him. Holy fuck. Like, he was like straight up, you know, Ralphie in A Christmas Story. Like, he was just like going. And I was like, yeah, you fucking go. So it was justified. And it's like, you know, and the player, you know, he was humbled and beat down and good. There was no severe injuries, but way to go, fucking Nick Dowd. Like, yeah. Uber respect for that play, that fight, whatever, scrum, whatever you want to call it.
And I'll end this part of the game's discussion with this. This is not to say that I, as a fan, am letting this guy off the hook. Michael Isamont is a dirty fucking player. He has pulled this kind of shit, not only in league play, but in international play. This man has a record.
Okay.
He has a reputation. He has, in my mind, just as much of a reputation as Tom Wilson, as Jacob Trouba.
Oof.
This guy is documented in pulling this kind of crap in games. This one happened to be reckless. This one happened to be enough on the reasonable doubt side of things that he got away with. And unfortunately, he will probably escape supplemental discipline.
Yep.
Because I haven't heard a bloody thing from dopes.
Nope.
The bunch of dopes.
Crickets.
Yeah, from them, as usual. I honestly think that, not to get into another rant, but honestly, if they ought to rename themselves, because they do not care one rat's turd about player safety. They don't. It cannot be more obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, this is not to say that, oh, this was some accident. This was no accident, okay? This was a very reckless play that I don't know if it could have been avoided, but maybe a little bit more care and he doesn't end up on the stretcher. But thank God he ends up walking away from said injury. Now, that's not to say he's going to be available for duty anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, but the fact that he was moving his hands and feet, his extremities, immediately afterwards, once he regained consciousness, that was, and, you know, was able to walk home, be with his family, great. But need to find a way to, I don't know. I don't know. I don't pretend to have the answer, but this was a very reckless play. And there needs to be a way that, I don't know what authority needs to step in here, but somebody needs to step in and say, look, there needs to be a little bit more respect. This is one of those things where it falls under the category of players have lost respect for one another.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly.
Well, they've lost respect for one another and then hand in hand lost respect for the game. You know, it's like, and this is one of the top reasons why I hate Ryan Reeves so much. Just play the fucking game. You don't have to be, you know, this jerk off on ice every single time and want to beat down every single player every single second and just be that guy. Just play the fucking game. Play it. Respect it. Respect the players. Not saying that you're not going to have moments where you go at it, but it's those players that make it dangerous that are the ones that piss me off the most. And I thought this was, I didn't know about his previous record, whatever, but, or, you know, past incidents, but like, fuck you. Then you know what? Go into a different sport. Like, you know, go into some stupid, you know, wrestling or, you know, or some like cage fighting or something. Like go do it where that is acceptable. But I don't like on when you're out to want to physically hurt somebody and they're going to go however many miles into the boards, I don't care. And they go head first, whatever it is, and it is fucking dangerous. My God, stop. Like, you don't belong, you know, here, because as fans, you want to see the skill. You right. want to see the speed. You want to admire the trick pass and everything else. Nobody wants to go out there to see the douchebag that's going to play dirty and possibly, you know, paralyze or injure or, you know, season ending injury to somebody. Nobody wants that person in the NHL. And yet we have them. And that's infuriating to me.
I don't think there needs to be a movement to eliminate fighting. Although,
no.
I mean, this whole other discussion for a whole other day. I get that in part, it has been proven to an extent that it has contributed to CTE,
mm-hmm.
the head trauma.
Yes.
I get that.
And
I totally get
scary.
That. I'm not dismissing that.
Of course.
But this is why it is a part of the game and needs to stay a part of the game.
And it's like, I mean, even God, like back in the day when it's like, I know I've mentioned it so many times, like my mom growing up in Winnipeg, and it was like, yeah, how her and her best friend, when, you know, even like to this day, her best friend still jokes about how all the boys in their high school, like, did not have all their teeth and everything. And it was because, like, they didn't wear helmets. They didn't have the safety. But when you know, whether you got a puck to the face or whether you were fighting and you got your teeth knocked out, that was like your rite of passage. You know, it was like, All right, you've been hazed, or however you want to consider. And it was respected. It was like, yeah, you did this and you did this, and now we're going to go at it. But when you play dirty and you're out to like physically harm somebody to the point of season ending injury, fuck you. Move on. Don't want you, don't care. And that's why you're hopping from team to team to team, because you're a loose cannon.
Yeah. And I think that if you want to eliminate something, do what you can to eliminate that. That's what the focus should be on.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so let's go ahead and table that for now, because like I said, we don't have the ultimate answer, but that's just to me, that's how it all played out. And again, I get the frustration, and I get that, you know, you want justice, you want something, but I mean, look how the game rolled out. Look at what happened. Yeah. Dowd took care of business, and I think it rallied the team, because what would happen in the third? Okay, John Carlson, they go on a power play eventually. John Carlson would, as he often does, pinch in, charge the net. He gets his ninth and earns the record, his 150th goal. Yeah. As a defenseman, earns the Caps team record for that. Bravo, good sir. Strome and Tom Wilson, critical assist on that one, on the power play. So that is the game winner. And then the guy we just mentioned, Nick Dowd, his 11th, he gets the insurance goal. Beck Malenstein and Van Riemsdyk on the assists on that one. I don't know that this was as well played a game, because I saw a lot of lapses in the defensive coverage. I thought when the Caps had the puck, they were better. I didn't see them. They weren't one and done with their scoring chances as much as they were in other games.
Excuse me.
It's all right. 34 shots on goal, not bad. But they gave up 34 shots on goal. But again, Charlie up to the
Charlie
tab.
Lindgren. Lindgren.
I kind of feel like we're starting to take him for granted. I'd never want to take him for granted, but I mean, he's what can you say? He's steady as a rock.
CFL.
Obviously a very physical game. 57 total hits just for our Caps alone. Yeah, I'm hoping this was the game that woke them up finally and made them all realize, okay, you know what? We're committed. Mm-hmm. We're in it. And not just to win it. We are in it as a band of brothers together to survive this and get as far as we can.
Yep.
And however our bodies will let us. And speaking of which, so hopefully if I've teased you, you know who you are. Last bit of information here. Some of you in our chat room, I tease with some inside information I was privy to. Well, wasn't really any inside information. But if you look at this team, and we did say in the Buffalo game in particular, they were flat. I think they've been flat for a while, but I think a part of it is something like the example I'm about to give you. After one of the games, I forget which. It was the one where Tarik El-Bashir was on doing extra coverage with Monumental. Mm-hmm. He came on and he happened to relate a story where he was interviewing a player. He noticed that said player had a limp. And this certain player was limping because he had a very deep bone bruise, because he had blocked a shot against Chicago weeks and weeks earlier. And I happened to be at that game, and that was not fun. This player ended up sitting out quite a few games because of that. And it's still affecting him now, all these weeks later. And that player's name is Alexi Protas. And it occurred to me after hearing that, that, you know, they're coming out flat, but the other side of it may be that sometimes the human body reaches a limit.
Right.
And as much as you may want to in spirit, the human body does not let you go past that limit. You can negotiate with your body to try and exceed that limit, and sometimes you can go past that limit. And if you have enough adrenaline running through you, you can exceed that limit to dangerous levels. But on other times, maybe not so much. And I think to an extent that is what's happening. So, you know, when you say they don't care, maybe think a little bit on that before putting that out. Maybe that's why, you know, they look flat. It's not really that they don't care. But afflictions of the human body can also affect your mind. And, you know, maybe sometimes to the point where you don't do what you should do because your mind's not 100% on it.
Right.
And we've seen that a lot. So. Okay, so here we are. We're in a four-way race for essentially one spot. I think the Islanders have third place in the Metro locked up. So it's us, it's the Penguins, it's Detroit, and yes, it's still Philadelphia. Four teams all fighting for one spot. There's two games left to go. Boston on Monday. And if you're listening... well, in my mind, they have it locked up. But Sports on the Hill, there may or may not be an edition of that this coming Monday. As we understand it, Robbie is quite under the weather, so there may or may not be an edition of that. So if you miss us, that's why. So there's the Monday night game against Boston, and then 24 hours later, the finale against Philly. Basically, if the Caps win both, it looks pretty damn good. But they got to win both. Mm-hmm. And I would say they got to win regardless, because you don't want to rely on help. So that's where we're at. And this is it. This is what they've been playing for all year. And you want to win, but... You know, even if they don't, I, as I was telling a friend, I'm more than satisfied with the progress they've made this year, for sure.
Absolutely.
All right. So I think we'll stop it here. And we've gone on quite a bit. But I hope we gave you an hour plus worth of chock full of good stuff here. So yeah, thanks for hanging around and being with us. Mermaid, you have anything left for this?
I don't. All good.
So, yeah, I know you got to get off here, and so do I. It's getting pretty late. So thanks for listening. So for the Mermaid Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point, signing off and reminding you that I happen to have a friend who is half Welsh and half Hungarian. So you know what that makes him, right?
No.
Well hung.
Girl.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, BlueLiner77.podbean.com, now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.
C4, hope you heard it, and you're loving it.
There you go.